everybody. If you want to just stand up and come to the front, we just thank you, Jesus, for this day. We thank you that we get to be in your presence and that we get to praise you no matter what. We just love you. Amen.
Praise that we can. Come on, I want to hear you screaming because God is amazing. And yes, he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above everything that we could ever ask or think. So come on and sing this with me. Sing, God is able to do. It's what he said he would do. God, 'cause he won't give up on you.
He's able.
Hallelujah. Come on. Sing, he's able. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. So if you believe it, just sing the first verse with me. Sing, God is able.
To do
just what he said.
He's
gonna fulfill
every promise
to you. So don't give up, no. 'Cause he won't. He's able. Come on, if you actually believe he's able, just shout it out.
He's able.
Because we stand on the faith that he's given us. So let's sing that verse just one more time. So God is able.
God is able to do just what he said.
He's gonna fulfill every single promise. Don't give up on God. Hallelujah.
Don't give up.
Don't, 'cause
he won't give up on you.
He's able.
everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing.
Just sing it out with me.
Sing, I surrender. Withholding nothing.
Sing, I surrender all.
I surrender all to you, Father God.
Sing everything.
Everything I give to you.
Control of our lives. Father, that's when we make the wisest decisions. God, we live in joy and we live in peace. I pray for each one of us, Father, that you know there's that spot in every single one of us that we haven't yet surrendered. And I pray, God, by your Holy Spirit, that you'll put your finger on this morning. That, Father, you'll bring us to a new level of commitment to you, a new level of loyalty to you, a new level, oh God, of honor to you. And that, Jesus, your church, when that trumpet sounds, you'll come back to a church without spot or wrinkle. God, we thank you that you are coming soon. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said? I said everybody said. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome at least 5 or 6 folks you don't know. Don't be a snob. This is one of our smaller services, so make sure you go around, meet somebody you don't know this morning, shake their hand and say, good morning. You look just marvelous today.
Don't let me go, Rose.
Yo, dog. It was alright, but, you know, there was a couple things that, you know, you probably could have done differently. Like, y'all should have cried. Like, you know, when she let you go, like, I would have cried.
I just don't think I totally agree with what he said there. I could just really feel your heart. And it's a sweet one. No, really. Seriously, girls. Keep doing what you're doing.
I honestly don't know if that was comedy or if that was a drama. Paula, have you been drinking again?
No.
Seriously, you must have had a wild night out because you are either blind or absolutely have lost it. It was so bad that honestly, your trip to his tabernacle, you're not even getting it. The audio person has done a better job than you did. That was absurd. Congratulations, you're going to his tabernacle.
Hey, AC family, if you guys know anything about me, I do not want to do this, but I love you guys, so here we go. On October 31st, we have Harvest Fest coming up. It's our annual celebration, and
Hi.
You are so annoying.
Howdy, partner.
Wow, you are so white. We are so excited for Harvest Fest coming up, October 31st from 6 to 8 p.m., From 6 to 7, we're going to have some awesome games inside. From 7 to 8 p.m., we have our annual trunk or treat. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to have a trunk. This weird guy, he's going to have a trunk. Pastors are going to be making donuts. You do not want to miss it. So don't forget, October 31st, 6 to 8 p.m., here at His Tabernacle Family Church.
We'll see you there. We want to remind you about Next Steps classes. We got Step 1 with Rock Solid Faith. We're going to get that started actually in the beginning of November instead of October. Step 2, we got Marriage class happening starting October 24th. Again, those classes are at 7 p.m. And then also Step 3 happens on Thursday night at 7 p.m. with Kingdom Principles. So make sure you get in a Next Steps class today.
Ladies, the next Women's Encounter is coming up November 2nd through the 4th. There's only 8 spots available, so make sure you sign up today. Money is due by October 15th. There's $325 due in order to go. So make sure, ladies, you sign up today.
Well, good morning, His Tabernacle. It's so awesome to be in the house of God this morning, right? I love that our God has a sense of humor and that we can have fun together as a family in Christ. He enjoys relationship with us. We would like to welcome our guests this morning. If you are a guest for the first time in this house, we're going to ask that you raise your hand. We have a gift for you that we would like to deliver to you. Do we have any first-time visitors, first-time guests? Right here in the middle section. Right here over to the left in the front section. Any other first-time guests, keep your hands up so that we can make sure that we get our gifts to you. Also, we have another one over here as well. Any other? Front center. We have another guest up here, front center. Thank you so much for coming and visiting with us today. We would also like to invite you, when the service is finished, to go right out these back doors and then come on to this side of the building. There's a guest reception. We have coffee and donuts, and you'll have an opportunity to meet some of our pastors. It's a great opportunity for you to build relationships, and apparently it's going to be epic. So make sure that you come over. We also would like to welcome our live stream. Thank you so much for being a part of our family, your faithfulness in joining us every single morning. We know that the Holy Spirit knows no boundaries or limits, and that His desire is to touch your life no matter where you are. So we thank you so much for joining us. We have some opportunities for you to get involved in the body of Christ. And when you begin to do ministry, it is contagious. One of the things that our pastor always says is, don't be a slug. So we always encourage people to get off of the seat. this building. They were expensive, but that doesn't mean that we need to occupy them all the time. Get up and go and do something for the kingdom of God. Matthew 25, which is this amazing ministry that feeds children and also clothes them, that feeds and clothes adults, that provides food to families that don't usually have it. They are always looking for people to come and help them. They also feed about 100. Last week we had 110 children on Wednesday night that we fed. And then we also have a group called Raw, which is third to sixth graders. And then a His Kids group, which is K through two, on a Wednesday night. 110 children that are getting fed. And then they're getting ministered to. They're learning the Word of God. They're learning how to minister to others. And these children are truly in the trenches, and we need to be a people that fight for their soul. The devil is out to get a hold of them, and sometimes we get too occupied with our lives and busy with the day-to-day things to even notice that we have a living enemy that is trying to steal the souls of the future of our kingdom. So I just really want to encourage you to get involved. We also need people that are willing to come and help out with His Kids. We had a child last week that led seven people to Jesus. What did you do with your week last week? So we have a powerful group of children that are being raised up in the Spirit, not for tomorrow, but for today. And they need powerful leaders. We also have opportunities for you to get involved with men's Bible study, women's fellowship, young adults. Go to the Hub, get some information. It is such a blessing to honor God. And one of our jobs is to earn crowns so that we can throw them at the feet of Jesus. And this is your opportunity. Also, we'd like to let you know that there's senior breakfast tomorrow. I remembered. So if you are a senior, come on out, join them. They have such a good time. I don't get to go yet. Hallelujah. Okay. Far away. We also would like to invite you out to the morning prayer line. All you have to do is dial the number that's in the bulletin on your phone. It's immediately muted, so you don't have to pray. You just have to sit there and listen and soak up all the goodness that God has, soak up all the supernatural power that is being released at that moment. You're starting your day right when you seek God, as the Bible says, early in the morning. Seek Him while He still may be found. So start your day with Jesus and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Start it with the prayer line in your bulletin. On that note, I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Rhonda.
And senior breakfast, Pastor wanted clarified that that's 50 or above. So senior breakfast with the pastors is for 50 and above tomorrow at Cracker Barrel at 9 a.m. We'd love to see you there. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, while we sang that song this morning, I Surrender All, you know, I just got such a joy that welled up in my spirit as I sang that, because I absolutely, willfully, and joyfully surrender everything for the return that Jesus gives us, for the blessing, for the favor, for the prosperity, for the joy, the love, the peace, all that God gives back to us. Why would we not surrender all to be able to walk in the prosperity and the promises and the blessings of the Lord? So in Malachi chapter 3, it talks about our giving and surrendering in every area. It says in verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you?" And his response is, "In tithes," which is a tenth, 10%, "in tithes and offerings." You see, in Psalms 35, it tells us why this is robbing God. Not because, oh, you're taking some. No, in Psalms 35, it says he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. We're robbing him from the thing that brings him the greatest pleasure, is when we walk in his promises, blessing and prosperity. And then it goes on to say, "For you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Try me now and Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be enough room for you to even receive it. See, that's what brings him the joy, is being able to bless you. And then it goes on to say, I love this part, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord. And all the nations will cause you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. He takes pleasure in your prosperity. So why would we not surrender every single part? When we surrender even obedience to the word of God regarding our tithe, the tenth of our income, he promises blessing. He promises to rebuke the devourer. You get to walk in supernatural finance. So why would we not surrender all to the God who wants us blessed? Stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration. This is simply the word of God, Deuteronomy 28, and it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. You're watching via live stream. You can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
We're very privileged this morning. We have a phenomenal group of pastors and ministers and leaders in this church. We really do. We have a phenomenal. Many of you don't realize that just this week alone, we had Pastor Obi and Regent Bible Institute were ministering in Rochester. At the same time, we had Minister Redner was preaching at the men's conference. And Chad and Jade, Pastor Chad and Jade, are in Indiana ministering to a church out there. So all of that has happened. That's just within our staff. And then yesterday morning, our staff fed as many workers that wanted to come out. We have 300 plus workers in our church, which is overwhelmingly a huge amount of people. And yesterday we made bacon and eggs and sausage and pancakes and blueberry pancakes. Whoa, it was good. And so the staff did that, and they were there cleaning up and taking care of everything. It was such a blessing. And I just want to say how blessed we are at His Tabernacle. What we do is we have three tiers. How does somebody come and minister at His Tabernacle? Number one, they have to be called. A calling is different from a job. There are preachers that have vocation. My vocation is a minister. That's not a job. That's a job. That's not a calling. The Bible says the fivefold ministries are found in the book of Ephesians. And it said Jesus gave gifts to men, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and I lost one. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. There we go. Five of them. That's the call of God. The call of God is without repentance, which means if you have a call in your life, let me tell you, God's going to nag you until you yield to it. And I'm excited that we have such great pastors. We do three tiers in our church. Number one, you become a minister. A minister is somebody who we recognize has a call of God in their life, and they also have to have a level of education. A minimum of associate's degree in Bible, minimum. And actually, to become a pastor, which is the next tier, you have to have a pastoral degree. And then what happens after you become a pastor, then you wait 2 years before you're ordained. Ordination means that you have been proven for at least 2 years that your call is valid and that what God has in your life is something that you didn't just fabricate, but it's proven of the Lord. And so today we're blessed to be able to do two very exciting moments. We're going to be bringing Mackenzie Coe to be a minister. And Pastor Obi, and we believe in team ministry in this church, that he and his beautiful bride as a team, that he is being ordained this morning. Amen. And so what we like to do, Nick, if you'll bring me the oil, we'd like to minister with Mackenzie first. If you'll just pray with us. Why don't y'all stand and pray with us this morning? Mackenzie, if you'll come forward. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the anointing that's on her life. God, I remember as a small child when she came here. Lord, I remember through the different changes, the cycles of life. Father, how this young lady has risen to the top. Thank you for the call and the drive that's in her spirit to fulfill your purposes. And now, in the name of Jesus, as hands are laid on her, just as it was in the book of Acts, Lord, we release her into this ministry. Lord, not only to do the worship and arts, but God, to usher in that fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. And God, a fresh voice of heaven to be released through new song. God, I thank you that as we lay hands on her right now in the name of Jesus, we now bring you to a place as minister of the gospel of Jesus for the glory of God in Jesus' name.
Jesus, hallelujah. Let no man despise your youth. Truly, our ceiling has become your floor. Go further, 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 further. Let no one despise your youth.
Father, we just release a partition of the house in her. God, this is a whole new level she's never experienced before. Lord, we release the angels to protect her. Father, even the new spiritual attacks will come in her life. Strengthen her spirit. And Lord, I thank you as we bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. The next one is Pastor Obi. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember the very first week you were here, you sat over on this side on the edge. And I walked over and I talked to you, didn't I? What did I say? I didn't even know him. But God knew him. Amen? If you've been around Pastor Obi for any period of time, the one thing you know is he loves God. And, honey, you are such a patient woman. You truly are the blessed of the Lord. He is an engineer by trade, has his degree in engineering, as well as he's earned his degree as master's, I believe, in business, and working on your master's in, your doctorate in Christian education. He's also, at His Tabernacle Family Church, he's the dean of the Bible school. The purpose of this Bible school is to train men and women how to be pastors. Like, not fly-by-nighters, but true pastors of the gospel of Jesus. And we are honored. And as your ministry has been proven, it's a great part is that God's proved you. I do have one more thing to say to you. I sense in my spirit, you already went through one trial that was very large. God has one more proving step for you. It will be larger than the last. As he's already taken you through the first, he will take you through the second. This is going to be one that will be... This is one, I don't know what it is. I heard it last night, and then I heard it this morning. I'm trying to avoid it. But this next one is going to graduate you to a level in the spirit you've never been before. The abilities that you're going to start having, even in the prophetic realm, and I know that you have a prophetic unction, but there's going to be a new level in the prophetic where you will start seeing things that you have never seen before, and you're going to be wise in the aspect, and I believe this is where your engineering degree comes in, because you're going to see the plot and the plans and the purposes, that there are times you will speak them, times you will not speak them, because you will already see them and know how to pray and thwart them or move them forward in the spirit because of that new unction that's coming on your life. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we release the anointing. Father, in this gifting right now, Lord, we thank you that they are ordained in the kingdom of God. Lord, the ministry has been proven. Lord, you already proved it. Now, Father, we declare in Jesus' name that even as he steps into this next realm with his wife and the children, a fresh, heavy anointing will come upon them. Now, Lord, with this trial that will be coming, Lord, this next testing level, I thank you, Lord, that each step of the way, he will have foreknowledge to be able to see it, step around it, step through it, and be graduated in the spirit, in Jesus' name.
Before Pastor even spoke that, I heard the Spirit of God say, you will not fail. You will not fail. The enemy whispering in your ear, you're going to fail, is a lie. You will not fail. Every promise and every prophecy spoken shall come to pass, and you will not fail.
We're honored to have you as our team. We're very blessed. Can you give them all a hand clap this morning? Amen. One more hand clap. Amen. Thank you. I love watching Mackenzie. She just doesn't know what to do. You may be seated. I'm just so excited as God continues to build our team here at His Tabernacle. You know, one of the things that I want to thank Minister Redner publicly for, he was our executive pastor for 2 years here at His Tabernacle with no pay. He's a very successful businessman, and he surrendered an enormous amount of his time to invest in our staff. And every week, he was here pretty much every single day. And Lord, I just release right now a blessing, Lord, upon his business, upon his family, upon everything he touches in Jesus' name. I declare, Father, that no sickness will befall his house. I declare in Jesus' name that his business will have such a boom that, Lord, it will not even make sense. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, there will be no fragmentation but only indentation. God, that it will truly fracture, Lord, in one sense, the mindset of man to see the blessing of God upon his life and upon his family and upon his business. In Jesus' name, amen. We don't know all the time what God is doing, but the one thing we do know is that God uses people. And I don't know about you, but I want to be one of these people that God uses. Can I hear an amen? You know, one of the things I found is that I don't care how old you are in Jesus, you still mess up. Anybody here ever sin once? Well, there's not a lot of sinners in the room. Amen. Anybody ever sin before? Anybody ever sin after you got saved? How many said, I'm not going to sin the same? How many of you sinned the same sin twice? Three times? Four times? 6,532 times and 10 cents. Let's be honest, man. We all have issues. How many here have at least one issue in your life? How many of you have an issue you don't want anybody to know about? Don't raise your hand. I'm just kidding. No. We all have things in our lives that God is working through. No matter how young you are in the gospel or how old you are in the gospel, the truth is that we all struggle with something. The Bible calls it a sin that so easily besets us. And the thing that the Lord wants to bring across in our life is this, is that Jesus will love you through your problem. Turn to someone and say, Jesus will love you through your problem. We sin. Come on now. Now, I want to tell you this, too, that's so important, that there is a difference between somebody who's not saved and somebody who is saved. Somebody who's not born again, the Bible says that they have the nature of their father. I'm never shocked when a sinner comes and starts cussing around me. It's not a shock when they're dropping the F-bomb. It's not a shock when they're cheating on their spouse. It's not a shock when they're lying. It's not a shock when they're drunk all the time. Well, why? Because sinners do what sinners do. The Bible says they have the nature of their father. That's found in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. The nature of their father is the devil. And that is just his nature. And that is to please himself, to do whatever he desires. But the one thing that is awesome is the day that you and I became born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. The Bible says we went from the old nature to a new nature. Can I hear an amen? Sin no longer has power over our life. You see, so sin is powerful. And yes, as believers, we sin, but we are not sinners. Let me say it one more time. As believers, we sin, but it is not our nature, and we are not sinners. Sinners sin by nature. A believer sins by choice. It's awful quiet in the room. We sin. Come on now. We fall. We fail. And at times we compromise. The truth is that I don't care how much you love Jesus. I don't care how much you're in love with God and growing in God. At some point in time in our life, you are going to fail. At some point in time in your life, you are going to fail and fall. At some point in time in your life, you're going to compromise. That's not the strangest thing. What we need to come to in reality is, what happens once I get there? What do I do once I arrive at this moment? And this is the saddest part of being a pastor. I watch people, when they come to these crossroads, many of them walk away from God. They give up on Jesus. They give up on their walk with the Lord. They walk away from God's house. And today I want to encourage you in the spirit, and I want you to hear me very clearly, that every single human being, how many humans do we have in the room? That's a good sign too. How many non-humans do we have? That's not a good sign. Every human in the room is going to come to this place of having to make a decision. Am I going to get up or am I going to lay down? Am I going to stand up or am I going to stay crouched? Where and what am I going to choose to do in my walk with the Lord? Today I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Luke chapter 22. I want to show you a great man of God. I want to teach you about this guy that is so filled with the Spirit, so filled with love, so filled with power, and so filled with problems. What I love about Peter is that you and I can really relate to Peter. You and I can relate to this guy who loved the Lord without question, but he had issues. The Bible says in Luke chapter 22, starting with verse 31, it says this, "And Jesus said to Simon, 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 whose name is Peter, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Now, I don't know about you, that almost sounded encouraging. That wasn't all out, woohoo! Because the fact is that Jesus, the Son of God, is talking to him and letting him know, Simon, Simon, The devil is coming after you. The devil wants to sift you as weak. But when you get up, which means what? He's gonna fall. Now, we're not talking about just some guy. We're talking about Peter, who walked with Jesus every single day, who saw the miracles and the signs and the wonders. He was around Christ when he talked about his Father. He was around in that anointing that was so powerful that even the blessing of God brought healing of opened eyes and deaf ears, the miracles and the signs. He was around all of that. But now we see Jesus look at him and say, listen, Peter, I'm praying for you because the devil's coming after you. And when he comes after you, he's going to sift you as wheat. And when you get up, so he's letting him know, you're going to fall. Everybody in this room, we're in a different place in our walk with the Lord. Every one of us, you might be a brand new believer. You might be somebody that just accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Or you might be saved for 20 to 30 years. But the truth is it doesn't matter whether you're like a new believer and you're still struggling with cussing or still struggling with smoking or drinking or whatever your issue is. Or the believer that's been born again for 40 years who has a sin that nobody knows about that they're struggling with too. The fact is not that you're not struggling. The fact is, what do you do when you fall? It's time to recognize that God believes in you, that Jesus is praying for you, that you are not alone, that he's not abandoning you, that he's not throwing you away, that he's not casting you away. He loves you with an everlasting love. Listen, I've had people say to me so many times, Pastor, I can't come to church because it's filled with hypocrites. And I said, yeah? What do you mean? Well, it's so filled with hypocrites, I can't come to that church. I said, there are people in that church. Of course there are hypocrites. Every one of us are hypocrites. Every one of us say one thing one time and do something else at another time. That's called compromise. It's not that we don't love God, but the truth is this. We struggle with portions of our life that we've got to come to a reality on. Jesus is praying for you, and when you get up, encourage the brethren. It's time to recognize that even if you fall, God is for you and not against you. Even when you struggle, he's not going to walk away from you. He's going to draw you. And when you seem that there is no hope, the hope of glory is going to come to your life and build you and strengthen you, get you back on your feet. Can I hear an amen? You see, we sin in very unique ways. You know, the greatest, Jesus is saying to Peter here on this one, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. Well, how many of you know that that's not the greatest tempter? The greatest temptation in our life does not come from Satan. The greatest tempter in our life is you and I. Where we think something is okay, we know God said no, but we think it's okay, so we do it anyways. There's a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. The Bible says very clearly that God can't tempt us. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. The Bible then goes on to say in the book of James chapter 1, we are tempted by our own lusts, our own desires. It's the temptations that we want. It's those sins that we like. And when we've been tempted, we, instead of taking authority over it, yield to it. And the Bible says that when you yield to sin, it brings forth to maturity, and therefore the wages of sin is death. This is what I love so much about Jesus. Jesus, he knew that we'd mess up. He knew we would have problems. But what I love about him is that he said that when you get up, listen, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Listen now, the Bible says, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We know that Jesus has paid the price for our sin so that we don't have to pay it ourselves. And when we fall, when we stumble, when we compromise, we have the ability to stand back up on our feet, call on Jesus, and the blood that washes away every single stain will throw it as far as the east or the west and remembers it no more. And it's time to get redeemed. It's time to get Bob back. Stand up on your feet and let's run this race to win. The Bible talks about how the devil comes, but you know the devil can't do much with you against sin. How do we know that? James chapter 3 makes a declaration. I think it's James chapter 4, I'm sorry. James chapter 4 says this. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Which means no matter what temptation the devil brings in your life, he can win. Only if you allow him to. There's not one temptation that the devil has in your life that is more powerful than you can control with Christ in your life. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So there's not one thing that's more powerful. The devil has no authority in your life, no power in your life, unless you give it to him. The word of God then declares that you are no longer slaves to sin. Romans chapter 6, this is what I love so much about Jesus, what he paid for. He didn't just get us out of hell, but he gave us the authority to live here successfully. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now having been set free from sin. Everybody shout, I'm free. Shout, I'm free. That means no sin has the right to bring you into bondage. That you are free from every power of sin. The only sins that we do as believers are the ones we choose to. The devil can't make you do it. Come on. You ever seen the bumper sticker? The devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do it. The fact is that you've been free and free indeed in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not one sin that happens in your life that you and I either don't surrender to or what we allow in us. It's time to say, God, I thank you for the power to overcome every fiery dart of the enemy. I thank you for the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. I thank you, God, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I thank you, God, greater is he that's in me. I thank you, God, that no sin is more powerful than the blood and the power of Jesus' name. I thank you that no devil in hell has authority in my life and that I stand here in power, the power of God. I am not weak, but I am strong. And with God on my side, I cannot fail. See, this is who we are. My wife, last night, she made me chuckle. We were in the man cave, and Sophia slept overnight. It was sleepover at Grammy and Grampy's house. And Sophia wanted a popsicle. So Rhonda, she makes her way out to the kitchen, and all of a sudden, I hear, whoop, 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 whoop. And I said, you okay? She said, yeah, I tripped over the welcome mat. Now, it's one thing tripping over the welcome mat. And I said, what do you mean you tripped over the welcome mat? It's flat. She said, my socks got stuck in the welcome mat. Now, listen, I can't figure all things out. I just listened to her. She comes in with the popsicle, and Sophia's eating her popsicle. It's red, so it's all over her face, drooling down on her pajamas. And Rhonda runs out to go get another napkin, and I hear, thoo, 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 thoo. And I said, are you all right? She said, I tripped over the welcome mat again. Listen now. When you trip over the welcome mat once, you've tripped over the welcome mat. I've fallen, and I can't get up. But baby, when you trip over the same welcome mat within the same hour, there's something wrong. My socks got stuck. Everybody tries to blame somebody. I said to her, go around. Well, I was just going, listen, this is what's, the truth is that for many believers, God has given us authority over every power of the devil, over every temptation. But we don't go around. We don't go around the welcome mat. We keep going over the same place in the welcome mat. Our socks keep grabbing the welcome mat. And then we blame our socks. You can't blame your socks if you keep tripping over the welcome mat. You have to make a decision. I'm going around the welcome mat. I'm going to step over the welcome mat. And as she keeps saying in my head, I'm throwing away the welcome mat. The one thing is, don't matter what you do with the welcome mat, just stop tripping over the welcome mat. Can I hear an amen? That's that sin that so easily besets us. I love talking about Peter. I'm almost done. Because Peter, man, he's just this larger-than-life personality dude. You know, he's the guy that walked into the room and everyone went, Pete is here. He was outspoken. He was loud. He was one that was, man, he was so funny because he had this passion for Jesus. You know he had passion. Why? Because in the Garden of Eden, you know, when they said, who are you after? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. What did he do? He didn't shake their hand. No, he took out a sword and cut their ear off. That's passion. That's aggressive. So here's a guy that's aggressive, who's passionate, who's larger than life. His personality is huge. Man, he's just a powerful guy. In fact, he's one of Jesus' top three dudes within the ministry. And not only that, he was a successful businessman. He owned three ships and was so powerful. You know what else? He was very loyal. This is who Peter was. How many of you can identify with Peter? Man, it's just who you are, your kind of personality. Listen, what I love about Peter is he did not have foot-mouth disease. He had knee-mouth disease. The guy was in trouble all the time. He was always saying something he shouldn't have said. He was just this guy that you and I can relate to because how many of us have problems in our lives? Peter was this guy who never thought in one day of his life that he would ever, ever, ever walk away from the Lord. In fact, right there in Luke chapter 22, he makes a statement to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Here's a guy that was so sold out to Christ, so excited about Jesus, had walked and talked with him, had been with him personally for 3 years. Here's this guy who would seem to have everything in his pocket. Now he's telling Jesus, listen, I'll die with you. I'll go to prison with you. I don't care the cost that anybody says. I'm going all the way. And Jesus looks at him and says, hey, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, no way. There's just no way that's going to happen. You know, many of us in our walk with the Lord, we love God so much. But yet, man, all of a sudden, you've made a poor choice. You've made a decision that impacts your whole relationship with the Lord. Now, listen, I'm not even talking some great mass sin. In fact, it's the little foxes that ruin the vine. Many times it's those small things that nobody sees, that nobody knows about, but you and Jesus know all about. Can I hear an amen? But Peter was this dude where he stood up, and we find it in the book of John chapter 18, where Jesus is being, before the trial, before Pontius Pilate and the rest of the guys, and all of a sudden, you know, Peter's standing there, and a little girl walks up to him and says, hey, weren't you with Jesus? And Peter looks at the little girl and says, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I don't know about you, but you got to know he had some conviction at that point in time. Not more than just a few period of time after. Now, all of a sudden, two more times, people walk up and say, aren't you the one who cut the ear off the soldier? No, I'm not. And then the third time, he denied Jesus. Three times Peter denied Jesus Christ, who he said he would die for, who he said he would go to prison for, and he actually believed it. He was so passionate about his walk with the Lord. But now he finds himself in a position where three times, within a short period of time, he denies Jesus Christ. Listen, this just shows us that not one person in this room is better than anybody else. Not one person in this room is impenetrable. Not one person in this room has everything so tight in their life with their walk with the Lord that temptation cannot come down your way and you can make a poor, foolish choice. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Oh, man. If that was it, that wouldn't be bad. But the book of Luke goes on to talk about something else that happens in Luke chapter 22, 61 and 62. The moment that Peter sinned the third time, the moment that Peter denied Jesus the third time, this is what happened. And Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine this? Jesus just had his beard ripped out. They punched his face onto Dickens. They ripped him all up. And now he's standing before another judge. And Peter denies him the third time. And instead of Jesus just being there, Jesus turns and looks right into Peter's eyes. You can imagine what he said. Ready? I told you. I told you. If you would have listened to me, Peter, you'd have been smart enough to not deny me. Peter, I warned you ahead of time. This is your problem. Peter, you're dumb as a stump. I don't get why you're so ignorant. I don't understand why you're so weak. No, man, I'll tell you something. When Jesus looked at him and looked into his eyes, what he already spoke to him resounded in his spirit. Peter, I'm praying for you. And when you get up, come on, you've looked into the eyes, if you've been married for any period of time, you looked into the eyes of your spouse and know you're a dead man. You've also looked into your spouse's eyes and see them well up with love and know that they love you without words ever having to be passed. And I'm telling you right now, the love of Jesus Christ, when he looked at Peter, was that compassion and that mercy that he, Peter, would know that I'm praying for you. Don't give up, Peter. Don't walk away, Peter. Get up off the ground, Peter. See, the Bible says that Peter was so overwhelmed that he wept bitterly and ran away. But I want you to know that Jesus never gave up on him. Jesus never walked away from him. It's time for you and I to get it in our spirit. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. Ah, you get up off the ground. Come on, it don't matter how many times you've fallen. It's time to get up. It's time to... Jesus is praying for you. Everybody in the world might give up on you, but Jesus will never give up on you. The church might give up on you, but Jesus will never give up on you. He believes in you. He's praying for you. You're his friend. You're his son. You're his daughter. He's praying and he's declaring, when you get up, be one that's going to encourage other people that when they fall too, my God is faithful. He will ever be there. He's that present help in times of trouble, that when you call upon the name of the Lord, he will save you. He will reach down and grab you when you start to sink in the water, that God will never give up on your life and that he has an amazing plan. Don't you give up on yourself. When you recognize this, man, it doesn't matter how many times you fall. You know this. If I get up, if I ask forgiveness, he's not like humans. What do humans do?
Well, I remember back in 1942 when you said this to me. And I want you to know that I've never forgotten that.
Listen, he shows the love that he talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That he holds no records of wrong. That he has this love that you can't stamp out, that you can't throw away. You see, today, you are the beloved of God. Today, you are the sons and daughters of the Most High. And yes, we at times fall. We at times falter. We at times compromise. But instead of you laying on the floor or walking away from God, walking away out of his house, abandoning your call, abandoning your purpose, it's time to weep and wail a little bit. But at some point in time, you got to get back up on your feet. You got to get up. You got to get up. You got to get up and start running again, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing on towards the mark of the high calling of God. You see, so many people live in the past. They allow their past to destroy their future. They allow the sins of the past to make them the identification of who they are now. My identification does not come because of my sins. My identification comes because of my Redeemer. There's three things you got to do when you fall. You don't have to have a book. Three things. Number one, you got to repent. The Bible says that godly sorrow brings repentance. What happened to Peter right here was powerful because it wasn't just the fact that he felt guilty. I'm sure he felt guilty. Come on now. Conviction brings you to a place of guilt. Conviction brings you to a place of saying you were wrong. You're out of line. The sin that you just did is separating you from God. You see, this is what I love so much about the Lord. He does not bring conviction in our life just to make us feel like crap. He brings conviction in our life to realign us so that our relationship will be unhindered. God does not want our relationship hindered with him. That's why he sent the Son. Forgiveness, I should say, I'm sorry is different from repentance. I'm sorry. How many of you were ever sorry that you got caught before? Remember when you were a kid? Man, you got caught doing something. You thought you hit it really good. Nope. Shazam. Busted. Sorry is different from repentance. It doesn't say sorrow. Getting caught brings you to a place of repentance. It says godly sorrow. David, who loved the Lord with all of his heart, David learned something way back when he was working with the sheep and taking care of the bear, whooping on the bear and whooping on the lion to protect the sheep. Do you know what he learned in there? He learned a relationship with God. In Psalms 51, after he had had sex with Bathsheba and gotten her pregnant and had her husband murdered. I don't know about you, that's pretty intense. When he repented, what he said was, God, against thee and thee only have I sinned. He recognized that it wasn't about, oops, I got caught. He recognized that it was about sorrow. He recognized that he hurt the one he loved the most. He said, God, against you and you only have I sinned. When we've sinned against God and it's relational, it has nothing to do with, boom, I got caught. It is, dear Jesus, forgive me, I've wounded you. I've hurt you. I put a gap between you and I. But thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus who washes away every single stain. I thank God that my sins can be cast as far as the east or the west and he'll remember them no more. That he never once holds my past against where I'm going in the future. You got to ask forgiveness. I gave the example in the first service. When I was a young man, I was an evangelist. And I remember I was going to preach a youth revival in Scranton, Pennsylvania area. So here I am. I lived in, I believe at that point, in Phillipston. And I caught a bus in Worcester. Worcester. I feel like I'm home again. Caught a bus in Worcester. And it took me to Hartford, Connecticut. So I switched buses, and I'm on the bus in Hartford heading to New York City. And we're on our way to New York City, and a man behind me who got on in Hartford said, hey, you want to talk? I said, sure. I like to talk to everybody. So I got up out of my seat, got in the chair next to him, and I said, hey, how are you? He goes, good. He said, listen, I'm on my way to New York City for the weekend. If you want, stay with me. I'll pay for everything. I don't think he wanted to show me the Statue of Liberty. I said, hold on here. I got out of my chair, got my Bible, went back to his seat. I said, now, I just want to show you something. The Bible says that that is a sin. And that you need to repent from your sin. He said, listen, I was going to be a priest when I was young. He said, but I chose not to be. He says, and when I'm done every single one of my lovers, I get out of bed, get on my knees, and tell God I'm sorry. And I said to him, sir, sorry is not repentance. Sorry does not get your sins forgiven. Repentance is what forgives your sins. What is repentance? I'm going this way, and now I'm repenting. Whoop. I'm going the opposite. I'm going towards sin. I repent. I'm going towards God. Turning your back on your sin is necessary for you and I to step into a place of forgiveness. Now listen, it doesn't mean you're not going to be tempted with that same sin. It doesn't mean at times you're not going to fall to that same sin. But it is not a lifestyle in your life. Can I hear an amen? Number two, you got to forgive yourself. You won't believe how many people I know that have walked away from their walk with God because they can't forgive themselves for the sin that they did. They love God, but man, they made a mess, and because of it, they don't want to come back to the Lord. They can't even think about forgiving themselves. You know what else is really amazing in the church world? This is what I found too. In the church world, everybody in church thinks that when they sin, everybody knows about it. It's what I love being part of a bigger church. When you're part of a small church,
Everybody knows your business. I grew up in a small town, a town of about 1,000 people, and everybody knew everything about everybody. What I love about a bigger church is you don't know anybody else's business. In fact, we teach you from the pulpit, mind your own stinking business. Can I hear an amen? But what's amazing is you find people, because they can't forgive themselves, they actually won't walk into church because in their head, they believe everybody knows what they've done. I want you to know that most people don't. Listen, my wife, somebody went to my wife for counseling one time, and they came up to me and they said, hey, I know you know what's going on in my life. And I said, well, I talked with your wife, and I said, okay. I said, my wife and I don't talk. And they said, no, really. I had counseling with your wife. I told your wife all my problems. You must know that. I said, I don't know your problem. We don't even talk in and amongst the staff. I remember when my mother-in-law was alive. Somebody did something, and they went up to her, and they said, we know that you know because you're part of the Spencer family stuff. And she said, all I know is you just told me. Everybody thinks in a church that everybody knows each other's business. Listen, when you sin, you sin. And if somebody knows about it and they're running around talking about it, they need to be slapped in the head. Can I hear an amen? For this is a place of grace and mercy and not devastation. Can I hear an amen? And if God can forgive you, it's time for you to forgive yourself. If God can wash your sins away and remember them no more, then it's time for you and I to look at ourselves and say, if God can forgive me, I can forgive me. It's time to move on in my life. It's time to step forward in my life. It's time to go for what God has for me, not what I had in the past. Can I hear an amen? Number one, you got to ask God to forgive you. Number two, you got to forgive yourself. And number three, sometimes you just got to get rid of the mat. Listen, if you're struggling with a sin, you don't take an alcoholic and make him a bartender. Say amen or my. You don't take a crack addict, somebody who's been delivered, and bring them in the middle of a crack house and say, now be strong. You don't take somebody in pornography and take them to Hugh Hefner's funeral. Some of you got friends you got to get rid of. Some of you got people in your life that you shouldn't have in your life. Listen, Jesus was the friend of sinners, but they weren't his buddies. He left opening for them to do ministry in their life, not so that they could have influence over him, but he could have influence over them. Some of you go to places you shouldn't be going to. Listen, I'm the only one going to dance today. Some of you got, listen, I don't even hang around Christians, some of them. They're believers. I love them. They're going to heaven, but I won't talk to them. I'll wave. I'll shake their hand, but they're so nasty and negative that all they do is vomit and breathe fire. Listen, I don't have enough hair. I don't want any more gone. There are preachers I don't even hang around. There are preachers I won't spend time with. Well, why? Because they're filled with hell and not filled with heaven. See, there's sometimes in our lives, number one, we got to ask God to forgive us. But number two, we got to forgive ourselves. But number three, sometimes we got to make sure that we don't keep tripping over the mat. You got to go around the mat sometimes. You got to step over the mat or simply get rid of the mat. Are you going to get rid of the mat? Probably. And she means it. She'll put it outside. We'll be welcoming everybody outside. See, Jesus believes in you so much. God has such great plans for your life.
This is not about religion or just making it till he comes by and hopefully I make it to heaven. No! God gave you a life. God has a life for you that is filled with victory, that is filled with power, that is filled with authority so that you can walk on this earth in victory. He's made you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. Not a survivor, not just somebody who's going to make it, but somebody who's going over the top. Can I hear it? Amen. And man, there comes a place in our life, in our walk with God, we've got to make a decision. I'm going to get up. No matter how many times I fall, no matter how many times I fail, no matter how many times I stumble, no matter how many times I compromise, I'm going to get back up on my feet, and I'm going to forget those things which are behind, and I'm going to press on. When you get this, nobody's going to hold you back. Nobody's going to give you an excuse, or you're not going to use an excuse that will tear you apart from your destiny. There comes a place that you've got to decide, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up. I'm going to tell the person next to you, get up. When you learn how to get up, the devil will realize after a while, no matter what he brings down your trail, he can't keep you down. But if you lay down, this is what I learned, ready? I didn't give this in first service. This is one thing I learned. If the devil can find your lay down spot, he'll always bring you back to the lay down spot because he'll know you'll give up right there. Say one more time. The devil always looks for your lay down spot. Where is that sin? What is that thing in your life? Where is that position that you will give up, that you will walk away, that you will yield, that you will lay down? Where is that spot? Because when he finds that spot, if you start accelerating yourself, that he will bring you back to that spot because he'll know you always will fall down, get down, and not get back up. And it's time to look the devil in the eye. Remember, the devil was cursed to slither on the ground the rest of his life. It's time to get the legs off the serpent all over again. And it's time to look the devil in the face and say, get down, because I'm getting up. There's nobody going to hold me back. There's no one that I'm going to give up to. I'm walking all the way with Jesus. I will never give up on God. Shout, get up. This morning I want to challenge you. I don't know what you got to ask God to forgive you for, but he'll forgive you. He's not there with a hammer waiting to bash your brains in. He's waiting there with open arms waiting to hold you and to wash every sin and stain away. In your position where you have a hard time forgiving yourself for something you did in the past, you've got to make a decision. If God can forgive me, I can forgive. If God's not holding it over my head, I'm not going to hold it over my own head. Then you've got to make a decision. Where do I keep tripping? What do I got to do to get out of there? I got to get rid of the mat. Or take off the socks. Sometimes there's one more than one way to skin the cat. But one way or the other, you don't want to keep falling. You can't walk down the same hallway with the same stuff on and think that you're going to keep standing. Today I challenge you. Ask yourself, who needs to be removed from your life? Who do I need to separate myself from? That whenever I'm around them, I feel that same temptation to sin. And it might not be this catastrophic, diabolical sin. It might be just you're talking nasty. It might be just that you're sowing into words of death and not life. Whatever it is, you have to make a decision. But sin is sin. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. Today, if you found that you've fallen down, you haven't gotten back up, Today I want to challenge you to get up. Today I want to challenge you to run this race and win. Today I want to challenge you to see yourself in the eyes of God. We might be at A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You might be at the G, but God sees you at the Z. And it's time to say, God, let me see myself how you see me, that Jesus, I may accelerate to get and be where you want me to be. Lord, I refuse to lay down. I refuse to stop. I refuse to give up. I'm going to get up and finish the race. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, today I want to give you the opportunity to know God. Not join a church, not join a religion, but know God and know that He has a phenomenal plan for your life. He'll wash away every single sin. He'll give you direction and purpose and meaning and joy and peace. Today, if you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you want Him in your life, I'd like you to raise your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait real long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, 3. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. 3, 2, last call. Thank you. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Can you give those who raise their hands a hand clap this morning? Hallelujah. God's going to change your life. Your life will never be the same from this day forward. I'd like the prayer team to come to the front of the altar, please. If you need prayer right after service for anything in your life, maybe you're faltering or failing or fallen and you need help, you just need someone to agree with you, they're here to pray with you. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave. Grab the person next to you. Meet me right up front right here with Mindy. We want to pray with you. We want to get you a Bible. We want to encourage you. We want you to make sure that you know exactly the choices you made. Come on, be brave. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come this morning. Come on, come right out of your chair. Right here's Mindy, right here. I'm proud of you, young lady. Yeah, folks, I love you. I'm proud of y'all. If you'll follow Mindy right on over there, amen. Follow Mindy right on over there. We're going to pray with you. Hallelujah. Very proud of you, young lady. Very proud of you. Never be the same again. You can follow Mindy right over in this corner, right over there. We want to pray with you, encourage you. Come on, give another hand clap this morning. They made a decision to follow Jesus. Don't let the angels outshout you this morning. If you're online and you want to make a decision for Jesus, you need to email us as quickly as possible so that we can get back to you. Make sure you respond right there online on chat. We want to make sure that you know Christ as your personal Savior. Father, I speak blessing over this house in the name of Jesus. I declare that not one will lay down, but everyone will get the Holy Ghost gumption and stand up on their feet. And after I've done all I can do to stand therefore. God, I thank you for the power and the authority in Jesus' name. I declare victory. Lord, use us this week to encourage somebody who has laid down and has not gotten up. I pray, Lord, you'll use us to help pick them up, to bring them to the house of God next week for the glory of God. And everybody in agreement shouted. Next week, I'm ending this series with this. After I've been restored, can I get back where I was and can I go beyond? You don't want to miss it. I'll see you next week. Enjoy Jesus.
Oh. chains. He's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
Together, that's what I say to me. I put on the pressure, you could do better, be who you're supposed to be. But that's when you came in, right when I needed you. You said all of the things that I was believing, not one of them were true. You lifted my head up, I was keeping my head down. I didn't know love, but I do now. 'Cause you score, not anymore, not since you rescued me. You lifted my head.